In this section, you see a description of two forms of group Lectio Divina. One is Lectio Divina based on a biblical text, a text that is read out, that is to say, listened to rather than looked at. And I should stress that in this group exercise, it is better for the people who are engaging in this group practice not to have the written text before them, but to depend instead on the aural, that is to say, the listened to experience of the biblical word. And then there is a second exercise, which is described as Lectio on Life. We'll look at this exercise a bit later in this course, the subject of how the ancient tradition viewed the experience of learning to find God in the scriptures as paralleled with and also an introduction to finding God in the sacred history of one's own life, of one's own memory. We'll look at that a little bit later in the course and speak again of this practice of group Lectio in more detail. I do not propose in this particular lecture to lead anyone through these exercises. We can do that, and I will create a separate course section in which there is a kind of, if you will, guiding through this process of group Lectio. I'm a little bit reticent to do that, however, because of course this is recorded and not live, and to a very great extent that necessarily means that it will be even more artificial than it otherwise would be, but I think it may serve a good purpose, and as I say, we'll do it in a later section. But before looking at these two exercises in a bit more detail, I've included two preliminary observations. They're almost like warnings, but I think they're necessary, especially as this kind of exercise becomes more popular in the general culture, as Benedictine spirituality becomes more popular and more individuals are introduced to and become interested in this kind of a practice. This group exercise in Lectio is not the same as private Lectio Divina. It can be a way of introducing the practice of private Lectio. It can also be a supplement to, a way of perhaps reinvigorating or reacquainting oneself with the practice, and can be a useful occasional supplement. But I do not believe that it should be a standing substitute for private Lectio. In the tradition, in the monastic tradition, Lectio Divina has always been a regular daily private practice. And these group exercises, although they are excellent and serve a good purpose, should not be allowed to displace the primary and much more important practice of private Lectio Divina. They can facilitate it, they can help it, they can encourage it, but they should give way to that primary experience of group Lectio. And of course, they should never replace or be a substitute for, any more than Lectio Divina itself should be, the use of good biblical commentaries. The best ancient practitioners of Lectio Divina, those who most strongly recommended an awareness of the biblical text as a way into the presence of God, were also those who labored most diligently at finding the principal, or if you will, the literal sense of the scriptures. Origen, the great biblical commentator of the 3rd century, labored ceaselessly at discovering the best texts that he could possibly use, from which the work of extracting the deeper spiritual or mystical sense of the scriptures could happen. So we in our own day must always base our Lectio on good, solid exegesis. The first exercise, which is described in two places in this section from the article Accepting the Embrace of God, is a general description of the process of group Lectio, and then at the end, or towards the end, there's a large blue caption labeled Appendix, and in that appendix, these two practices of group Lectio on the text and group Lectio on life are summarized in a kind of a capsule way that can be helpful for a leader or someone taking people through this practice. The first practice, Lectio as a group exercise, back up at the top, is based on a practice we learned at my monastery about, which comes really from the third world, from communities in both Africa and in South America, where literacy is not as widespread as it might be, and the primary experience of the biblical text is to hear it read out, to hear it listened to. So it's based on a small group practice in which a group of between 5 and 8 people, if it becomes larger than 7 or 8, it can become a little unwieldy. But a group of people gather together to listen to a relatively brief text, and I'd recommend that it be brief, not more than 2 or 3 verses, so that people can receive from it a short phrase or a brief word or maybe a portion of a verse, and not have to try to make sense of a longer text. But a short text is read out in a group, and the text is read 3 times. The first time, it's actually read twice, so that if people don't hear anything the first time through, that is to say, if no word or phrase seems to invite them to take it in, they can relax and realize they'll hear it read out a second time. The exercise begins by a formal exercise of quieting down, of centering. I often use an exercise of just attentiveness to breathing and the experience of about a minute of quiet. Then the biblical text is read out twice, slowly, everyone listening for any word or phrase that touches their heart, and when they hear it, taking it in. Then there is a minute of quiet. After the minute's silence, each person in the group goes around and says just what word or phrase they heard, without any explanation. This can be difficult for people who want to say more, but the group leader has to encourage people only after this first reading to share what word or phrase they heard. Then after all have shared, everyone holds that word or phrase in the heart, ponders it within them, and lets it, or as it were, be the background against which the same text is read out a second time. And it's good if you have a mixed group to alternate men and women doing the reading. You hear different things in a men's voice than you do in a woman's voice sometimes. And so alternating the genders of people doing the readings can be good. The text is read out a second time. Again, people are not listening for a new word or phrase. They're holding the same word or phrase they originally heard in the heart, but this time listening for, allowing themselves to be aware of anything that rises up within them, that is to say, anything they inwardly see or hear. In other schools of meditation, this might be described as distraction, but it's not distraction in Lectio Divina. It's an insight into yourself. It gives you a part of the self to offer back to God. It may be a memory of a person or a sense of a place. But after the second reading and in the silence that follows, each person allows them, holding and pondering that original word, just to ask, what inwardly do I see or hear as I repeat this phrase within me? After a minute's silence, each person in the group goes around and shares just what they inwardly saw or heard, but without explanation, not trying to say what it means. Then there's a third reading of the same text. Again, everyone holding and pondering the word they originally heard within their hearts. And during and after the third reading, they allow themselves to ask, what is the word inviting me to do or be or become? How is it summoning me forth out into action? And after the silence that follows, each member of the group can share, and on this occasion, perhaps a little more at length if they wish, what inwardly has happened or gone on within them. The exercise concludes with each person praying for the person on their right. That can be as simple as they wish. And I should add that it's important to let people know that they have the right to pass after the second and third readings, because sometimes people will hear something very intensely personal or experience a memory of something they don't feel comfortable sharing in the group, and they need to be given permission to pass. Their sharing, their silence, is a form of sharing that's perfectly legitimate. We won't discuss here the practice of, if you will, group lectio on life. As I mentioned, we'll do that a little later on. Feel free to look at the description of this exercise as you wish, and we'll come back to it later in the course. And I would invite you to go ahead and read this second portion of the article now.